The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
It's Friday. Welcome in as the month of June, first half of the year, down to a mere hours, unless you're watching us from Eastern Europe, where it's getting a little bit closer. Thanks for being a part of the program, and we have a lot to deal with today, and we look forward to talking to a number of guests. And we'll talk a little bit about the Ole Miss collective situation and a recent battle with the NCAA. We'll get a good look at the SEC Media Days, which is just around the corner. But we begin with Bill Plaschke, who's been here many times before. But look at this, with his family the other night in North Carolina, being honored as literally a Hall of Famer, as for his distinguished work in the field of sports writing. Some of you probably know him as a regular on Around the Horn, but that would only be one part of his resume. A longtime sports writer and award-winning columnist with the LA Times. We've talked to Bill a number of times about his book. We talked to him not that long ago about one. And Bill, first of all, before we get too deep into the weeds here, congratulations, and tell us what it was like the other night with family and friends being honored with very distinguished company. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The National Sports Media Association, they do this, as you know, they do this thing every year in North Carolina, and they really celebrate sports writers. And there's fewer and fewer of us left, so it was really cool to have it, to be honored like that. And I was honored with Pete Thamel and Ken Rosenthal, and Lee Corso was there. He was honored. Lee Corso got into the Hall of Fame. Ian Eagle was there. He was the sportscaster of the year. So there's a lot of cool people there. And it was just really neat to celebrate sports journalism and sports casting. And again, it feels like even today, it feels like a dying, we're a dying breed. And I was thrilled to be part of it.
Bill, I'm curious because I started a couple of years before you in those press boxes. If you go back to the beginning of your career and think about what they look like and versus today, I mean, I haven't really been in that many lately, but I know there are a lot fewer people. How would you describe that journey from the beginning of your career to where things are today, at least in terms of the rest of the media?
Yeah, it was so different back then. We all worked for newspapers. There's no websites. And we all had deadlines, and we all watched the game and then wrote the game and went home. And now today, there are no deadlines because of the internet. Everything is automatic. I mean, there's everything has to be tweeted out or filed right away. So people back then, we could watch the games. You can't watch the games anymore. You have to be on your Twitter. You have to be on your Instagram, you have to be, you know, filing flash gamers, flash quotes. So it's a whole different world. And it's also gotten, I think we've lost a lot, and I'm sure you do this, Paul, we've lost a lot of the personal touch with the athlete. We would all talk about the old days. We would hang out downstairs and hang out in the manager's office and hang out in the coach's office and hang out with the players and get to know them. And now, the players and media barely know each other. It's all orchestrated. You don't get any inside scoop. You don't get any inside story. Any personal stuff is released by the team through its own website or by the player through his own PR firm. So it's a whole different, it's a very impersonal now. We're almost like sports media in this country. It's almost become like the soccer writers in Europe. Forever, Europe, you know, all the great soccer leagues over there is no access. There's no locker rooms. You talk to one player a game in a mixed zone. That's where it's been there forever. We're the only country in America, in the world, that allows people in locker rooms. But increasingly, nobody shows up in locker rooms, and players are, you know, distant and don't share. And so it feels like we're like soccer writers within Europe. We're like movie critics. We critique the movie. We critique the game, with little input from anybody about the game. So it just feels impersonal. I mean, I feel like I so love journalism, you know, just like you do. I so love the written word, and I so love the power of the written word. but it's hard for me to talk about the future of the business with a 30-year-old. I mean, what's it going to look like in 20 years? I don't know. But more and more, it's becoming more automated. It's becoming more sanitized. It just isn't the same. I know I sound like an old man yelling from the front lawn, but I think that's just the truth.
Well, Bill, you have such a unique position, though, because I mean, you can play that role on one level as the grizzled columnist in the press box. But I'm guessing I'm betting heavily on being right. But as you're walking through airports these days, you're recognized because you're on ESPN.
Yes, I'm more recognized than I'm known locally as the LA Times guy, and that makes me very proud because that's who I am. But I'm known nationally. You know, every TSA agent I come across watches around the horn. But I'm still known as the grizzled veteran around the horn. There's really only a few of us. Veterans, me and Woody Page and Tim Calishaw are the three old-timers on there. And I love ESPN for allowing us to stay, be on the show, to be like the buffer for all the young talent they have on there. So it's a great mix. But, yes, I'm known for around the horn most of the country. But again, not in L.A. I tell people come to me and ask, how do you get a job in broadcasting? I say you work for the LA Times for 30 years, and then they'll have you on the show. I have no broadcasting experience. I'm just on the show because of my LA Times credibility. So newspapers brought me everything I have. And it's sad for me to see that newspapers seem to be a dying breed.
Yeah, it really is. And Bill, we were talking about this on an unrelated situation this week. A newspaper did something rare these days, in most places, investigative journalism. And immediately there was blowback, as I'm sure there was recently in L.A., or maybe not as much because it didn't involve a coach. It involved an athletic director with your newspaper uncovering all kinds of nefarious things about Mike Bone, the former athletic director. But fans are now conditioned to believe what they're told by their favorite website, are they not?
They are, and they really lash back. And I can be quite negative out here, and I get a lot of hassle for it. Why do you hate USC? Why do you hate USC? And my question is, why didn't you vet Mike Bone? I mean, why does USC hate itself, it seems like? So, yes, we get a lot of fans want, and fans will really positive stories. They don't want, they want cheerleaders now. And it's harder and harder. And the local, the team website has obviously got to be a cheerleader. So the newspapers, we're the last bastion of objectivity. We're the one that holds truth to power. And people say, well, truth to power is something that only exists in the White House. But no, it's USC is very powerful out there. And we hold truth to them. UCLA is very powerful. Their athletic departments are very powerful. They influence a lot of people. And we get on them. And we're very tough on them. And we pay the price. USC fans grew up hating me because they thought I was too tough. And I kept saying, nobody promoted Pete Carroll Barry more than I did. But, they're too young to remember that. They didn't, they just remember me getting on Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin and Clay Helton and the whole Trojan mystique that's gone away. They get on me I'm holding Lincoln Riley accountable. He said he's going to change everything around. Well, they lost it to Lane in the Cotton Bowl. That's not USC. That's not transformative program. He's got some work to do, and I'm writing that. So we're proceeding to being very negative, but we're just being honest. And it's harder and harder. We take more and more flack as time goes on because fans are conditioned, like you said, to believe the positive and to root for the positive.
Bill, on that subject, we're a year away, literally a year from tomorrow. USC and UCLA will formally make the move. It seems like it ought to be here by now, but it was a year ago today that they made the announcement that they were heading to the Big Ten. How is that going to change the view of fans where you are, and how do you think these two are going to fit in what is now going to be a cross-country league?
I think they're going to be great. I think they're going to bring more speed and athleticism to the Big Ten. The fans here are going to love it. I mean, I'm already seeing the schedule, and I forget exactly what it is, but I'm seeing Michigan and Ohio State on there and Iowa and Penn State. I mean, those are, for fans used to watching USC and UCLA play, Saturday night in Corvallis, Oregon, the game nobody can get on TV, or playing, a Saturday morning in Tucson. in a game that you know, nobody's watching. They're going to be thrilled to see him play at, you know, State College and Columbus and Ann Arbor. I mean, that's just big. That's just so, it's such a difference. The Pac-12 dropped off so far. And I know Oregon and Washington are great and all that. Stanford's great, but they're not the same as the Big Ten Mystique. So I think the schools will fit in well. The fans are going to love it. I think it's all a positive. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be hard to travel. I mean, I got to decide whether I go to Lafayette, Indiana for a Purdue game in the middle of October. You know, I may skip that road trip. But there's going to be some.
I would.
Tough road
I've been
trip.
There.
Oh, you have? Yeah. Well, I've never been to Purdue. So it's worth missing, huh?
You could miss it if you blink your eyes. So I would pick Columbus, Ann Arbor, State College, maybe Madison over that one.
Yeah, that's anyway. I think it's all positive. I think it's going to be huge, and I think the teams are going to do very well. I think that they're going to recruit. This is going to help their recruiting. They can get kids to the Midwest. They can beef up. They can get tougher. The rap on our teams, as you know, has always been that they're soft, and it's been an accurate rap. And I think that they can recruit the kids from the Midwest who like to play, whose parents can see them play now on TV, who come to the sun and the fun in the West Coast. I think it's all positive out here.
Bill Paschke from the LA Times. Again, congratulations on the honor. I know it's something that you will cherish, and we always enjoy when you have time to drop by. All the best, Bill.
Thanks, Paul. You're awesome. Great show. Keep it up. See you, buddy.
Thank you very much. The Hall of Famer, Bill Paschke, joining us here as we begin the program. Future Hall of Famers will be joining us a little bit later on, and we'll also take your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Things are about to change in college football, the new landscape, how conference realignment will change the map. 14 schools tomorrow officially move to different alignments. UCF, Houston, BYU, and Cincinnati head to the Big 12, and you have UCF. We have Charlotte, FAU, North Texas, Rice, UAB, and UTSA moving to the American, Jackson State, Liberty, New Mexico State, and Sam Houston joining CUSA. What about a year from tomorrow? That's what the SEC will look like. Yep. Oklahoma and Texas knocking on the door. College football playoff happening next year. Now, a year from today will be a dramatic day in college sports when all of this comes into fruition. The college football playoff, the SEC, and of course the Big Ten, as we just talked to Bill about. Well, the portal window could be cut in half, according to the NCAA Division I Council. That is at least a proposal. probably a reality. Tomorrow marks 2 years since NIL went into existence. That was quite a day, if you remember back to then. Some nonprofits could be in trouble because they may not qualify as tax exempt. Yes, this is a sports show, not a business show. Texas assessing how to navigate the conflicting aspects of NIL. What are we going to be doing today? We've already had Bill Plaschke on. He's back, Michael Bratton. All right. Alert the neighborhood. This guy is a home wrecker. Walker Jones as well from the Ole Miss Collective. I don't mean he's a home wrecker, but I mean he's a coach wrecker, isn't he?
More like that.
He's something. He's a wrecker. And we begin with Danny in Georgia. Good afternoon, Danny.
Hi. As a young man, I dabbled as a sports writer and discovered it was not for me. My friends were having fun on Friday and Saturday nights, and I was working. That was a career changer. Props to you and all who do all of this for us to enjoy.
Thank you, Danny. Danny, how long did you scribe?
It was about 3 years, and it was pre-internet days, and I did mostly high school football, some high school basketball, and I had to make it into the office by about 11 p.m. to get everything I wrote in by 12. And
By the way, for those who think about if you go back to that era, you talk about chaos. A Friday night in a newspaper office, especially in a fairly large city where you have 50 or 100 city county games, and it looks like it looks like crystal at 3 a.m. in a college town.
Yes, sir. It was, but it was fun. I got to enjoy the games. I got to have coaches yell at me for asking stupid questions.
Oh, sure.
I was growing up. But, Paul, I know you are a longtime journalist with Journalist Integrity, and the reason I called is the AJC has run a number of articles about Coach Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs and his treatment of players and recruits after suggestions of wrongdoings by local police, and then after the AJC was disproved. Paul, I want to know, what is the accountability for the writer and the AJC? As a longtime great sports writer, what do you think of Alan Judge and the accountability should be for him?
Danny, let me ask a quick question before I get to Alan Judd. How has the AJC been disproved?
Well, there were articles written by Jake Rowe on 3, and he showed that the Athens Clark County Police had documents, and they showed the text messages between the.
Well, Danny, I don't mean to get this into a journalistic manifesto here, but I would caution anyone to hang your hat on the AJC being disproved. In no way do I have any skin in this game, so to speak. But all I have seen from the AJC are two articles that are, this is just my opinion here, that while perhaps journalistic sound are very difficult to follow, And they're also do they also do something that I don't like as well. For a story of public interest, it should be made free as opposed to hiding or behind a paywall, because it looks like they're trying to lure you in.
Paul, and I would ask you to check out what Jake Rowe wrote, because he copied...
Well, I will, but I can't do it right now. But I don't think that they've been disproved. I just think that their articles are complex. And the only thing that I will say, having read both of them, is I need... Where we are in journalism today is there is a need for things to be explained simply. That's the world we live in. You understand that. And I think the average person reading those two would lose their mind. And I think that's my fault with the AJC. It's not with their journalistic integrity, because I don't know really, I don't really have a quibble with the veracity of either article. I just don't really like the way they're doing it. I want them to explain in more detail. Here's what we've learned. Here's what it means, but I think they're afraid to explain what they think it means, because then they're going to be crossing that magical journalistic line, which, quite frankly, there is no such thing anymore.
And the investigator decided not to press charges.
Well, but Danny, don't get hung up on that. I mean, I've done pieces in the past that would bury almost anyone else, and just because some person decides not to press charges does not mean very much, especially in a politically charged environment like college football in a small town. Anyway, I hate to run. We're up against the break. We can get a Pulitzer Prize-winning Blue Ribbon committee and interpret all of what we just learned, or we can just simply go to the next call when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back. William is up next in Augusta, Georgia. Hey, William.
Hey, Paul. It's a pleasure to speak to you again, and I really mean that.
Thank you.
I want to pose something for you real quick. This period of time right now that we're getting ready to enter is my least favorite time of the year. Do you have any idea why? I know that's an open-ended question.
Why is that?
Okay, it's my least favorite time of the year because the Paul Feinbaum Show, which I live for each day, disappears from the airwaves.
Well, I was afraid that's where you were going.
you knew before. You knew exactly.
And I say this in advance. We do not control the schedule of this network. We are merely employees who work at the pleasure of our bosses. So if they say you have a show today, we show up.
Okay. Well, I would not have any qualms if you took a vacation. You take very little vacation. But I think you still come on the radio, so maybe I can find a station
there.
Yeah,
the show is always available on the radio, even when it's not on TV. But it's not always on TV.
Well, this is my question. On my channel, and I think most people's cable systems, there is an SEC alternate channel.
Correct.
Why cannot the Paul Feinbaum Show be seen on the alternate channel?
Well, let me give you a William. Did you ever take economics in your prior life?
Many years ago. Many years ago.
Yeah. Well, I took it, and quite frankly, I hated it. But I took it anyway.
Right.
But I do remember Introduction to Economics, and there is no such thing as a free lunch. Is the first thing my professor told us. And what that means is to put the to put anything on that alternate channel, that would mean turning on the lights in the building, which costs money. It costs money.
But you're getting advertising revenue.
It means bringing people in. So while they are airing other things, they can save the light bill and the bill of having to bring people in. I think it's simple arithmetic.
So the advertising revenue means nothing to them.
Because
your show, listen, your show, I tune in many times in the fall, and you will be preempted by a volleyball
match. Oh, no,
there's
2 days in the football season every year, and it's the volleyball tournament. And it's always the first day of the CFP rankings. And
right.
I get text from friends of mine like, where are you today? I'm like, going, well, I mean, but it you know, for all of those type of situations, we're here most of the year, and for that we are, especially days like today, we are very fortunate.
Well, hopefully somebody's hearing this call and they have a bug put in their ear, but you're missing revenue. You're missing revenue.
Well,
because people watch the Paul Feinbaum
show. I appreciate that. I do very much, but they're. This will sound like a cop out here, but we're on more than we used to be. The first couple of years we were here, July was a complete washout. That the only week we were on television was the week of the SEC media days. Now, once media day starts, we're on. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, right. And I've got one other real quick question. I you've got other calls, and I know, and I appreciate your time so much. You used to have a caller, and I enjoyed him a lot. It was named Rich from Atlanta. Do you know what happened to Rich? Did he pass away?
No, Rich is alive and well. I saw him not that long ago, and for whatever reason, he decided to quit calling.
No. Well, I enjoyed his calls, even though he was Alabama. I'm a Georgia fan. He's an Alabama fan. But I enjoy all the calls.
Well,
I enjoy all the calls.
Well,
so
William, thank you very much.
I really appreciate it.
If someone was listening, we probably won't be back the next hour after that call. John is up next.
Hey, one word for William. SiriusXM. You can get on your car. You can get on your computer. Get on your smartphone. Paul, you know, I was going to be a baseball star at one point until the aluminum bats came out, and I couldn't drill cork into them. I moved on to business.
You and George Brett.
I know. Now Ted Williams. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember Brett, yeah.
Hey, he had a problem with cork
bats. As far as Danny's concerned, all AGC did was list all the times players were pulled over. I didn't think there's much journalism to the articles, or
John,
there was much needed. You can form your own opinion.
I mean, I hate to be critical of what I think is a very good reporter, but I don't blame him. I blame his editor. You have to make things easier today to understand. And I once did the same thing. We wrote this great investigative piece, and I remember I was up for some job someplace, and the editor of the newspaper read it, and he said, "What's all this about?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, You need to tell the. He said this is like a 3,000-word article, but I want to know what it's about, and without having to read it. And what he meant by that is you need a little you need a primer to the piece, and the AJC doesn't do that because I think they're afraid they don't want any, they want to be journalists, but they also don't want anybody to get upset with their money making Dog Nation website.
Yeah, do I clickbait or do I not?
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Paul, reference to the IRS guidelines, new ones for the NIL, it makes it pretty clear if you're not going to get your tax-exempt status anymore if it's all it is paying athletes
right.
or even paying athletes and letting them do a little charitable work. So that's going to take at least 80 of those groups away. But what I find more interesting, Paul, it seems to be a donor fatigue. And I'm noticing it like up at Michigan State, the Ishabia, who is the new owner of the Phoenix Suns, he was a big participant in getting that Mel Tucker contract done. Now, he contributed that money to the university, and then they pushed it forward. But he's dropped out of the collective up there. And
John,
I'm looking
do you blame
at Miami,
him after burning Tucker. $90 million?
Yeah. And I'm looking at teams like Miami and Texas. They're not putting the money out on the recruiting trail. They're, I believe, number 48 and 40 in the recruiting right now. So it looks like there's some donor fatigue. Florida's doing real well right now. It's more than just Billy Napier. You see recruits come down there without crystal balls, and they leave town with a contract. So,
that's going to be cyclical, John. And you're in business.
Exactly.
You understand that. You can only give so much. Daryl is up next in Columbus, Georgia.
Come on, Paul.
Hey, Daryl.
Dog Nation, huh? Is that what you call them? Dog Nation?
Yeah.
You guys ain't Dog Nation, man. They ain't nothing but a bunch of friggin' haters. That's all they've ever done. Mike Griffith has quit following me on Twitter because I told him that Stetson Bennett was the better of the quarterbacks, and he wanted to debate it. Want to tell me how he was going to practice, and J.C. Daniels was the better, and Georgia couldn't win with Stetson Bennett.
So Daryl,
they want to hear it no more.
You're determining someone's worth as a sports writer because they don't follow you anymore?
No, it ain't that. It's just he couldn't take it. He couldn't deal with the fact that he was wrong.
Well, maybe he didn't want to be associated with some of your tweets.
Say it again?
Maybe he did not want to be associated with following you because of some of your tweets.
I mean, maybe that's what it was. Maybe he just didn't want to be associated with being wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure that really
would have
bothered him.
Have you heard about the article your boy Dan Roken wrote on Kirby Smart?
I read it.
It's garbage, man. I mean, it's straight up garbage.
Hold on. Let me explain. What Dan Wilkin wrote was that Kirby Smart is.
You don't come out and say something like that.
Take a breath, buddy.
How would he handle it?
Daryl, I'm trying to explain to the audience who haven't read it that he warned Kirby Smart that he's trending down a very dangerous road.
Well, what road is he trending? What more can he do, Paul? What more? Let me ask you this. It's no different than what Alabama's been put through and Saban with the guys in the car in Louisiana. I mean, we can go down the list, right?
I don't think that incident in Louisiana is comparable to multiple incidents in Georgia.
You don't think signing Jonathan Taylor after what he did in Athens was okay?
Daryl, if you go back, I think my feelings on that were quite well known. I can send you the multitude of ESPN hits on that subject.
What more can Kirby Smart do that he's not already done? I mean, he suspended that. Adam Anderson was gone. Kicked off the team. Boom. Histo. George Pickens was out for most of the year. But what more can he do is my question.
You tell me.
I think Dan Wilkin, Paul, I think Dan Wilkin is just still butthurt over that 62-0 beatdown we put on Vandy a couple of years ago. That's what I think. See you, Paul.
Daryl, that's the problem with people like you, that they actually think that a writer like Dan Wilkin really gets hung up personally on these things. He's a sports columnist. He gives his opinion. He's not upset about something that his alma mater had with. I mean, if you're a Vanderbilt grad, and I know I live with one, you don't carry grudges over past losses because you would never have a good day. We will take a break. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at constantcontact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
And welcome back. Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Bert, how you doing, Paul? I want to talk about A&M points I was announced. I got a bombshell drop on you. Look, what's that loudmouth car that keeps on calling South Daddy? Texas and LSU's going to run inside of town. You know, whatever else you said. Why don't you get no phone with me, you fake loser? How many times do your quarterback get second? College Station Oil was 5 or 6? Compliments or your star your defense. Look, if I make a bet with him, Paul, if this team can't go 9-3 or even more better than that this year, and we win the West, he has to dig him on the show, and I said, go Tigers.
Let me ask Trey to interpret all that. Trey, did you understand that?
No, I just heard blah, 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 gig 'em, blah, blah. No.
That's what I heard, too.
Yeah. But I wanted to give props to the good Aggie color who takes his maroon shades off every now and again. That's expired. But, yeah. I just wanted to ask you about the Arkansas-Duke game that's coming up in the regular season.
Yeah, of all the ACC-SEC games, that is the one I want to see. Is that game in Fayetteville?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing.
But Walter Arena will be rocking, I can promise you that.
I may have to sneak out for that one.
Yeah. Hey, well, no, I guess it ain't in actual football season. I could say, well, Arkansas, you might get SEC Nation during football season to swing by around there. But
you're right. I'll talk to the bosses if I could ever find one. Glenn is up next. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Oh, love the show. Appreciate all you do, man. You're great.
Thank you.
I seen this article last night on ABC Sports. Herb Street was talking about his number one coach. Who do you think it is?
You tell us.
It's Saban.
Saban?
Number one coach. And he even admitted that he calls him time to time for advice.
Hmm. About what?
Isn't he an Ohio State graduate?
Oh, yeah. He was a quarterback there.
Yeah, I think that his team is Ohio State.
Would you call Nick Saban for advice?
I didn't know
he'd
like...
I mean, if I was in the market for a Mercedes, I might. He owns a dealership.
Yeah, really. What do you think Alabama's record will be this year?
I'd like them to, I would say right now 11-1.
Yeah, that's a good pick because they've had like 11 seasons, 11-1.
Yeah, I frankly think they're going to win their home games. I think the road could be a little tricky, especially at A&M. But right now, I think Alabama is looking good for Atlanta. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hey, Will.
Hey, Paul. Getting ready to, since I'm having to hang close to the house this weekend, getting all the ingredients together, going to make some homemade ice cream. Are you in or are you out?
By the way, if you go outside right now, you can get a good you can smoke it because of all the Canadian wildfire. I mean, can you breathe outside? I couldn't even see it in my car today.
It's thick, man. It's thick out here. What's your favorite? I prefer strawberry. I guess.
What's your favorite ice cream, Randy?
Pineapple.
I don't like pineapple. I like.
I'm talking about homemade. Homemade
candy. Ice cream. Ooh.
Yeah. I ain't never put no pineapple in my homemade ice cream.
Yeah, I would never eat that. I mean, that's a terrible choice.
It's either peach or strawberry. It's homemade.
I think I'll go for peach.
Yep. Paul, all I can think about, I hate to keep rubbing this in on Jim, but have you seen Christmas Vacation?
Yes, I have.
Everybody. Okay, you remember Cousin Eddie with the plate in his head?
Before the crazy guy?
Yeah,
that's Jim?
Chevy Chase's. That's Jim because he was talking about like before they.
Jim is the crazy cousin.
I can
buy that. That makes perfect sense. Hey, thanks for the call. Doug is up next as we wind this hour down. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great.
Fantastic. Hey. Yesterday, I was intrigued by your phone call with with Reese Davis, and I wanted to talk about that, and then I wanted to talk about something else. So let me get to that something else first. You've been doing a national radio show for 10 years now. Is that the right number?
Well, it's longer than that. We went national on the radio specifics in 2010. So what's that, 13 years?
Okay. All right. And then before that, you were kind of regionally south?
Yeah, we were primarily in Birmingham and other cities in Alabama. That's the best way to describe it.
Okay. Now, do you still have some of those same callers before you were national?
Still, oh, sure. Oh, absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing. That amazed me. All right, so I was curious about that.
We have callers that go back at 25 years since we were on in local. We'll continue this in a moment.